This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
Hello and welcome to Elgin Talks. We're in an era of high inflation, high interest rates and economic uncertainty, a challenging environment for investors looking to capture potential fixed income opportunities. Against this backdrop, there has been a growing appetite for strategic bond strategies. But what are these exactly? What role can they play in investors' portfolios? And what are the key considerations when assessing them? Here with me to answer these questions and more are Matthew Rees, who runs a strategic bond strategy here at Elgin, and Francis Chua, who is responsible for our multi-manager funds and model portfolio service. Thank you for joining me today, guys.
Hi, June. Hi, Matt.
Hi, June. Hi, Francis. Great to talk.
So, first of all, I'd like to talk about the role and evolution of these strategic bond strategies. Matt, this is a question I'd like to put to you. Going back to basics, what is a strategic bond strategy and why would clients consider investing in them?
So strategic bond strategies are where investors delegate some or all of their investments in fixed income to an external manager. And then it's up to the manager to then choose a diversified range of fixed income assets and also the ability to manage the interest rate risk of those investments as well. And the asset classes that the manager can invest in, it depends, again, on the type of manager, but that can be from very sterling-focused fixed income through to a pool of globally diversified fixed income assets and also across both high yield and emerging markets as well. And then the bit that's been developing that's been quite interesting is the management of interest rate risk. That's changed quite a lot. The strategic bond sector as a whole before COVID probably had a relatively fixed amount of interest rate risk of around about kind of between 5 and 7 years. And then after 2021, 2022, with the losses on interest rate risk, people have become much more flexible in the strategic bond sector in terms of how they manage that risk, which I think is really positive for fund selectors.
Great. So that ability to be flexible and dynamic seems to be key. Francis, just wanted to get your thoughts weigh in here as a fund picker. Why would you consider investing in strategic bond strategies?
That's really to add on to what Matt had said. I think for me, the two broad reasons why an investor will hold a strategic bond strategy in their portfolio. The first is around diversification. With the evolution of the fixed income market, naturally, the strategic bond strategies will now have a greater variety of fixed income assets to hold. Matt touched on a few just now. So as an investor, as a fund selector, you're really looking for your manager to access the full breadth of that universe. And the second is really around active management. Matt pointed out very, very nicely just now around duration. We have changed, I guess, the world we're living in right now. 10 years ago, where interest rates remain kind of low versus where we are today, where reasonably, I think there's a higher demand on active management and in particular around duration. So I guess in summary, you know, you want your strategic bond strategy to be making calls between fixed income assets like credit or government bond funds, but then within those asset classes as well to be adding value for your clients.
Great, thank you. So Matt, how would a strategic bond strategy sit alongside other fixed income asset classes?
I suppose it really depends upon the end investor and whether they want it to be, you know, kind of a peripheral part of their wider fixed income allocations or their only allocation. I think it depends to a degree on the sophistication of the investor in terms of how much they can do bits of fixed income themselves. So I think it's the key part about the investment in strategic bond strategies is the flexibility of the approach that Francis and I have talked about to take advantage of opportunities that arise. That's what a good manager within the strategic bond strategy should do. And also many strategic bonds also are a kind of higher returning type of fixed income asset class compared to a traditional kind of core allocation as well. And that's what people are looking for from the sector.
Great, thank you. So looking towards the view from a fund selector, Francis, what are the key characteristics a fund selector would look for in a strategic bond strategy?
So Matt touched on this earlier, and I will kind of expand on this. There's a great variety of strategies in the strategic bond sector. Because of this, I think you really need to condense them and think about what are the key things you're looking to access with the strategic bond strategy. The first is around fixed income exposure, you know, touching on that diversification, trying to understand what are you getting from the strategic bond strategy? Is it just investment grade? Is it just sterling based? Or are you getting exposure to other asset classes like high yield, emerging market debt? What about duration? What is the exposure to interest rates? Is it just UK government bonds, or is it US government bonds, or is it, you know, a variety of other government bonds as well? So the first one is around exposures and the portfolio. The next one is around the active management of those. Is the strategic bond strategy looking to add value by shifting weights across these different asset classes? And what level of added value is offered there? The key point here is around flexibility. Some strategies are fairly flexible and looking to dynamically tilt their exposures over different market conditions. Others a bit more strategic in nature. So really trying to understand the trade-off between being strategic and also being dynamic is really important for a fund selector. I think overall, whichever kind of path it kind of leans on, The other main characteristic a fund selector will be looking for is into the process. So it's all well and good to kind of say, you know, we're looking to be dynamic, but it has to link into the process. It also has to link into the team. I would say a fund selector in general is really looking for a robust long-term process that builds on the strength of that team that runs the strategic bond strategy.
Right. Thank you. So something I'd like to put to both of you, but Francis, you first. Would or should equities feature in a strategic bond strategy?
A very good question. I will put my purist hat on and I'd say the answer is no, but let me elaborate. I personally prefer strategic bond strategies to be really about fixed income. And so, yes, equities could be permissible, but it, you know, really shouldn't deviate from the overall characteristics of the strategy. And so if equities are featured, it really has to link into the objective of the strategy. But it's a good question because, you know, again, coming back to diversity and the diversity of the sector, there's just a variety of ways they can construct a strategic bond strategy. And in fact, some of the strategies in the sector have got an income-based focus. And then naturally for those strategies, you can see and tend to see a higher allocation to equities.
And Matt, would love to hear your thoughts, obviously, as a manager of one of these strategies. What do you think?
I agree with Francis. I think the clue's in the name of strategic bond strategies. It's about bonds. I do think that from the conversations I've had with investors is that they want it to be fixed income. And I don't think you should be cross-contaminating it with equity. So I think equity should not feature in a strategic bond fund.
Makes sense. My next question is about derivatives and emerging markets and other bond sectors. Same question. Should they feature in a strategic bond strategy? Francis, you first.
Okay. So if you look at the evolution of the strategic bond sector, you know, it was launched in the 1980s really to offer an alternative to kind of pure government bond exposures. And the reason why investors like strategic bonds is, you know, we're looking for something that's global, something that's diversified. And I think that trend and that theme continues today. You know, fixed income markets have expanded massively over time. And opportunity set for strategic bonds naturally have also expanded over time. So I think today it's reasonable and maybe even expected that a strategic bond strategy really has to demonstrate diversification. And so that's exposure to different types of assets within fixed income, and then also demonstrating the best execution of those ideas. And so this would be, you know, demonstrating the use of cash bonds versus derivatives, and then kind of changing this over time.
Thanks, Francis. And again, Matt, from your experience and your expertise, what's your view on this?
Yeah, I think, I mean, derivatives can replicate, where it's more efficient in the portfolio. So you think about what derivatives can do. So in terms of trading costs and liquidity to be able to move your allocations quite quickly, derivatives can be really useful. So where that applies across the different types of derivatives that cover the fixed income markets, that it is useful. And to me, that works particularly in the government bonds area, where futures in government bonds are very, very liquid. Trading costs are, they're lower than cash government bonds anyway, but that we find is the best way we can move our duration around. But on the credit side, derivatives, I don't think are that useful to go long to replace buying a government corporate bond, because the derivative indices are generally are They roll them every 6 months. So generally, the trading costs are much bigger, and you don't really get the kind of carry or yields that you get with owning a corporate bond and then letting it kind of run down towards maturity. And again, going back to strategic bonds, it's in the name. I do think that most of the portfolio should be in bonds, and therefore derivatives should be a component, but not something that kind of completely outweighs everything else. But I do think in terms of other sectors, bond sectors like emerging markets, I think you do have to have allocations towards that. As Francis said at the beginning, the developments of fixed income markets as a whole has been huge. So the emerging market sector is now a very, very large component. And that's where most of the growth in the world is coming from, is from what are deemed to be emerging markets. You do need to tap into that. You need to have the access to that in your strategic bond strategies.
Great, thank you. Wanted to have a look at the last couple of years, especially 2022, unsurprisingly. So strategic bond strategies are commonly seen as a kind of a go anywhere strategy. In environments such as last year, cash was a winner, but what were the other lessons that you learned from this period, Matt?
Yeah, I think it comes back to the flexibility that you need to have if you're in the strategic bond strategies. You have to really, really show your flexibility, particularly on your interest rate risk side, which is what a lot of us found to our costs, that any level of interest rate exposure was pretty difficult and quite painful for investors. And so, the classic defensive portfolio stipulated by regulation has quite a lot of interest rate risk, and that was very painful for investors. So that flexibility on interest rate risk, and also I think one of the bits that we really learned ourselves last year was just because something looks relatively cheap to other areas, so some bits of emerging markets looked relatively cheap in 2022, it can still get cheaper when you have an unexpected event like the Russia-Ukraine war. So kind of relative valuation isn't the be-all and end-all of if something's interesting.
Thank you. Moving on to the current market environment and even kind of the future trends, what are the key challenges or opportunities you're seeing right now and that you anticipate are going to emerge?
There's huge amounts of debate, uncertainty about economic trajectory and about when will interest rates peak. And there's a growing consensus that we're heading towards recessionary environments. That's being more challenged now in the US. And therefore, what level of yield is attractive is the kind of the dominant question, I suppose. And as a result of the big increase in yields, we've seen fixed income become much more attractive as an asset class. But there's massive uncertainty as to if there is a recession, what happens to inflation? And I think that is the ongoing debate that people struggle with fixed income.
Francis, would love to get your views on this, obviously, as fund picker. Anything in the current market environment or that you can see on the horizon that particularly interests you?
Yeah, sure. Maybe to start is to describe the backdrop we're in. 2022, a very difficult year for fixed income investors, but also multi-asset portfolios where I think typically a strategic bond strategy would feature. We would have fixed income assets and multi-asset portfolios to give that diversification. But then last year, what we saw was this breakdown in relationship between equities and bonds, where typically fixed income assets would provide downside protection when equities fell. Both assets fell in tandem last year. So what does that mean for this year? If we look forward to this year, investors are really trying to understand if that's going to be a continuation of that trend this year for multi-asset portfolios. And then also increasingly looking to their managers to provide that active view, to provide that tilting and dynamic adjustments to their portfolios. Strategic bond strategies feature in our multi-asset funds and our model portfolios. And here we are looking to the managers to dynamically tilt the exposures as we navigate an increasingly volatile environment against a backdrop of recession and uncertainty around inflation as well.
It's really interesting that Francis talked there about the ability of managers to dynamically tilt their portfolios, because this is a medium-term trend that we've been thinking about for about 4 years, about multi-asset investors, the kind of big investors who do mix up their bond and equity portfolios to try and get a better diversified mix of returns. If we get to an environment through the next recession where interest rates and inflation are structurally higher and structurally more volatile than the beneficial period we had for 20 to 25 years before COVID, then I think there will be some, you know, kind of structural allocations towards fixed income, which could go down if managers can't prove that they can be dynamic. So that this is a medium term trend that we are considering about, you know, whether, you know, multi-asset investors will actually reduce their fixed income investments. What impact will that have on the fixed income sector as a whole? So, you know, surprisingly, you've got a fixed income investor potentially talking down his future job prospects, which isn't a good idea, I know, but it is one of the trends we think could come out.
Thanks, Matt. That's a really interesting trend. We'll keep an eye out for that. That's unfortunately all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for both of your time.
That's great. It's a great pleasure. Thanks very much for the time.
Likewise. Great to speak.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal & General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website. Copyright 2023. Legal & General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal & General Investment Management Asia Limited, the licensed corporation BBB 488, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission, for professional investors only.